Could you find 2 John? 2 John, we've made our way through 3 John, and you all know we're working backwards, right? The first shall be last, and the last first. So those of y'all who think I'm dyslexic, I may be, but this is deliberate, all right? You get wary when I start reading backwards. That's when you get concerned. So we're in 2 John. If you could find that, and if you're able to stand, I'd like to read the first 3 verses in your hearing. I ask God's blessing on our time together. 2 John, verses 1, 2, and 3, reads this way. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the Son. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for all of your glorious work in us. And now, Lord, we ask you to meet with us. Meet with us, Lord. Make your will clear and plain. Then grant us grace to live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is truth abides in us. Truth abides in us. You'll remember as we looked at 3 John a few weeks ago, we saw that 3 John is addressed to a church member, and it concerns 3 individual church members. Do you remember that? Now, 2 John is a little different. 2 John is actually addressed to a church, not to an individual church member. The truth is equally valuable. It's just that we want to understand a little bit different in the dynamics, all right? 3 John was addressed to an individual. 2 John is addressed to a church. Both of these letters, even though they're the shortest letters in the New Testament, both of these letters concern real people with real problems in real churches. We're together on that? When we read the Bible, we are not reading some kind of story that's made up just to make us think. This is not fiction, right? It's reality. Real people with real problems in real churches, just like you and me. That's why the Bible is relevant. Always. Even though this was centuries ago, the Bible is relevant for us today. We agree with that? So even as we start together, we agree that the relevance of what we're about to study. Remember that one of the major problems in this time, in the first century, as today, is that you had false teaching and false teachers that were affecting these churches. False teaching and false teachers. Therefore, the truth is absolutely vital for the survival of Christ's church. The truth is central. The truth is core. The church is established as the pillar, the foundation of what? Truth. If we don't have the truth, we're just wasting our time. That's right. We can make each other feel good all we want. The world is doing that. Thank God for the truth. So it's essential for the survival of the church, both then and now. And so, as we begin to look at this letter today, I want you to see
the value of truth and love. The first thing I see in verse 1 is believers loving in truth. Believers loving in truth. You see how it reads? The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. You see that? Love, now you remember, this is Pastor John, Elder John, writing to this church. And so the first thing I want all of us to notice is the love between a pastor and a church. Love between a pastor and a church. Now, don't be thrown off by the fact that this church is called the Elect Lady. That's what we would call personification, right? The church is often spoken of that way, in a personified way, as the bride. So it has that characteristic. And her children then obviously would be what? The church members. You see that? And so don't be thrown off by that. This is obviously not a real person. The terminology in the first two verses and even in verse 5 would let you know this is not a real person. He wouldn't have written to a real person and say, "And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another." He's saying that to the church, right? The truth binds a pastor and a church together in the love of God. But it has to be the truth. Can't be just warm, fuzzy feelings. Everybody here knows that warm, fuzzy feelings wear off. But the truth holds it. The truth is what holds married people together. When the warm fuzzies are gone, truth holds you. So the truth binds a pastor and a church together in the love of God. The relationship must be based on the truth. It must be based on the Word of God. Otherwise, you got opinions and strife and everything else going. How are you going to settle any kind of conflict if it's not based on the truth? If you don't have somewhere to go to settle it, that's the reason churches can't settle things today. The Bible is not core and central. There's a problem in Corinth. Everybody's opinion was exalted. But God settles all opinions. So then there's love between a pastor and a church. Verse 1 also talks about, and you see that again, he says, whom I love in truth. But I also see that there's love between churches. You see how he ends verse 1? Not only I, in other words, the pastor saying, not only do I love you, but also all who know the truth. So there's love between churches. Listen to me. Relationship between churches must be based on the truth also. And this is tough for some churches. To hold the truth as the gauge that will guide the relationship. Not the size of the church. Not how many friends you got at the church. The truth. The truth. There can be no true loving relationship and fellowship between churches without agreement on the truth. How can there be genuine fellowship if you don't agree what's true? Churches must agree on the essentials of the faith in order to have genuine fellowship and love. Churches have to agree that the Word of God is the final authority. The Scriptures. Not the Scriptures plus this thing and that thing. The Scriptures settle the matter. Churches have to agree on who God is. Do you realize how many different kind of gods there are in churches today? You have to agree on who God is. You're getting together and you're worshiping two different gods. You have to agree on the condition of man, the way of salvation. Many, many people are in churches with wrong views of how to be saved. You ask them about salvation and all they can tell you is that they can tell you when they were baptized. I grew up that way. You talk about salvation, all they can tell you is the day they got baptized. Nothing about conversion. You have to agree on these fundamentals, these essentials. You have to agree on worship. So much unbiblical activity is accepted in churches today as worship. The Bible is what's to guide us in worship. The truth. Not how you feel about it. Not how it makes you feel. Worship is... There's sometimes worship shouldn't make you feel so good. Is that true? Because there's times alone when God doesn't make you feel so good. So when we meet together, I mean, the outcome is good if you obey God, but it doesn't always feel good along the way. So, love between a pastor and a church and love between churches must be based on truth. That's the reason why we try to ensure that members know exactly what we believe here at New Hope Baptist Church before they join. I've gone through that experience before as a pastor. I went through that experience as a young pastor where people would join the church and then 6 months, a year or so down the road say, I didn't know you believed that. That's a problem. Problem. You need to know what you're joining. Churches, I remember one brother told me this years ago, and it stuck with me. He said, this is the second most important action I've made, a decision I've made in my life. The first was to marry my wife. The second is to join a church. This is not a plaything. You need to know what you're joining. Everything needs to be out in the open. So we try to make sure that members know what we believe. And before churches come to have fellowship with us, we try to make sure they know what we believe. Because there can't be... You know how uncomfortable it is sometimes when you're in those situations where you realize, I didn't realize I was getting into this. I didn't realize I was bringing the church into this. Something you can't agree with. You can't say, and I'm not just talking about little nitpicky things. I mean something fundamental you can't say amen to. I know this is not comfortable. This is the way worship, we have to face the truth. The truth doesn't always make us comfortable. Truth doesn't always make us feel good. Because sometimes we need to change. See, I know they don't do it much nowadays, but when I was growing up and you needed to change, your parents did not negotiate with you. Change came painfully. Now, on the other side of it was good, but getting from here to there, it didn't feel good. And we got a good father, don't we? God is going to change us. But it must be based on truth. So, believers loving in truth. The second thing I see is that the truth then abides in believers. See that in verse 2? Because of the truth that abides in us. The truth abides in us now. Believers love one another. Because the truth and Jesus himself dwells in us. Because the truth and Jesus himself abides in us. Is that true? We cannot know the truth unless we know Jesus. It's impossible to know the truth unless you know Jesus. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So you can't know truth if you don't know him. He also said this. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you see, most people like to go to the next verse. After he said, abide in my word and you're my disciples, then he said, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. But don't run down to verse 32 before you stop at verse 31. My word needs to abide in you and you need to be my disciples. Then you'll know the truth and the truth set you free. The truth abides in us. We love each other because we share the same truth. We love each other because we share the same cross. We love each other because we share the same salvation. We love each other because we share the same grace. We love each other because we share the same mercy. We love each other because we share the same hope. We love each other because we share the same faith. That's what binds us together. We love each other because we feed on the same truth. We're nourished. Our soul is nourished and fed by the same truth. And that's what binds us together. That's the reason we together can say, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Why? Feed me and me and me. And it binds us together as he feeds us. Why? We're feeding on the same bread. Is that right? The truth resides deep within us, and we love the truth just as we love each other. Truth abides in us now. But you notice this verse also says truth will abide forever. You see verse 2 again? Because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Truth is an encouragement to the church for our future. The truth encourages us about what's ahead. What's the point, Brother Willie? We're the ones who know the end of the story. Isn't that good? You don't have to guess. Bernanke doesn't know the end of the story. And any other ones that you're counting on to figure this whole thing out, God has already said what the end of the story is. And I'd rather have the Lord on my side, or I'd rather be on his side than lining up with all of these experts. The truth encourages us for the future. You know, I thought about this the past couple of days. Here's the deal. Truth does not change because truth never has to change. Isn't that right? Truth does not change because it never has to. It's only a lie that has to change. Isn't that true? That's the reason Jesus can say, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Right? Grass withers, flower fades, but the word of God shall stand forever. Isn't that good? The truth abides with us forever. The truth abides forever. And because our love is based on truth, then we love each other. How long? Isn't that good? Why? Because of the truth. You're joined to Christ. Believers love in truth. The truth abides in believers. And then the last thing I see there is that there are blessings in truth and love. Look at verse 3. Blessings in truth and love. That's what I call it. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. Blessings in truth and love. The first thing I notice is that believers are the recipients of this blessing. Believers, you and I who believe in Christ are recipients of this blessing. And I labored on this thing, so y'all listen to me. I may have to read this. grace. Who needs grace? Hands, feet, toes, everything. Ooh, what would we be without grace? But listen, grace is for the undeserving. That's why it's a blessing. And you and I need to stop running around talking about getting what we deserve. Even in this life, you need to back off of this thing of getting what you think you deserve. God, was you in that old movie? Father knows best. In this case, Father does know best. It's just best to trust our Heavenly Father and stop worrying about what you deserve. Grace is for the undeserving and guilty. Mercy is for those of us who are helpless and pitiful. Again, I could raise up all hands and toes again. Helpless and pitiful. Don't we know that? And peace is for us who need restoration and harmony with God. Haven't we all had our hearts so laid low that we just feel like you have to crawl back to God? Need peace. Need peace. Here's another way I worded it. Grace indicates that the blessings are free. Mercy indicates that we need these blessings. And peace indicates that they are effective. You see what I'm saying? They're free. That's what grace would picture to us. We need them. That's the whole idea of mercy. But peace, to have peace means it worked. The only way you can have peace is that God's blessings were worked out in your life. God is good. God is good to us. These blessings are ours in spite of trouble, confusion, and opposition in the church. The next thing you notice is that God is the source. You see that in verse 3? Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. We can be confident and assured that these blessings are ours because they're from God our Father who cares for us. I just mentioned to you, the Father knows best, and He is caring for us in the best way. He knows when we need and what measure of these blessings that we need. He knows the timing. He knows. We are in the family of God. Furthermore, we have been eternally joined to the Father's Son. Let that sink in for just a second or two. You and I have been joined. There's no way to even picture that. I hear people talk about being glued. You can't be glued to Jesus. And all of those things have the wrong picture. If anything, the Bible says you're in Him. You're in Jesus. We have been joined to Him so that you'll never hide. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good? We've been joined to Him. And so Jesus is our Savior and our mediator, and He ensures that God's blessing will come to us. You remember how Paul said it in 2 Corinthians? He says that all of God's promises are, old King James, yay, and amen in Jesus. The promises are, God says yes to Jesus. You in Jesus, He says yes to His promises. He says yes to the fact that I'm causing all things. I'm causing all things to work together for good. Not for everybody. Not for everybody. That promise does not apply to everybody. He causes all things to work together for good to those who are called. Who are loved and called. Right? So, Jesus is our assurance. Matter of fact, Hebrews 7 says He's the He ever lives. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I'm thankful that Jesus is praying for me. Aren't you? He ever lives. He ever lives. I'm thankful he doesn't get sleepy. You see, I couldn't sleep last night. I got up about 2:30, I think, to, believe it or not, repairs. And went back to bed about 3:30 and couldn't go to sleep. And so I had to get up with all these little tired eyes. Because why are you going to lay in the bed when God won't let you sleep? I might as well get up and see what he wants. But I know my little prayer time was feeble, so I'm just thankful that Jesus was there praying for me. Just like, you remember how he came back and Peter and James and John, you know, they wanted to stay awake. But Jesus is good, isn't he? He didn't fuss at them. He came back and he woke them up. And he left again, and what did they do? So I know he was looking at this little lump of clay this morning, and I don't know what Allah said, but he does, and I'm thankful that he prays. He's a great intercessor for us. And then finally, not only is God the source, but you see, truth and love are the conditions. There are conditions if you're going to know God's blessing. You see that at the end of verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus the Father's Son in truth and love. Now, this is my best attempt at trying to put this thought together. I believe the phrase in truth and love probably means that these blessings, grace, mercy, and peace, are experienced by those who hold to the truth and who practice love. Now, this is developed more in 1 John, but this is over and over. If you're going to know God's blessing, you need to hold to the truth and you need to practice love. You'd have to be in a cave with no outside communications not to have heard the name Bernard Madoff these past couple of months or so. Right? Everywhere. Everybody's talking about Bernie Madoff. And I mean, he's somebody to talk about. This is the man who had the biggest fraud, $64 billion fraud going on for years. But here's the deal. Who was he defrauding? His friends. And investors. You hear me? And I thought, well, you know, it'd probably be interesting to think about who his friends are. You ever heard of Larry King? CNN? What about Sandy Koufax? Former pitcher for the Dodgers, I believe. Kevin Bacon and his wife. Those of you who are familiar with Hollywood. You may not have heard this name. There's another one of his investors was Norman Brayman. He's the former owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Leonard Feinstein, co-founder of Bed Bath & Beyond. Some of you all are familiar with that retail store, right? Steven Spielberg, film director and producer. Fred Wilpon, the owner of the New York Mets. He had investment groups, banks, hospitals. I saw one documentary where he had an entire hospital invested in him. A 60-year-old doctor was ready to retire, lost everything. But that wasn't, he could still work. He had nurses, everybody in the hospital invested. Nurses, staff assistants, lost everything. They interviewed a 70-year-old surgeon who now has to work as a security job. A 70-year-old eye surgeon who has to work now as a security guard. Friends, investors. Brother Willie, what's your point? Relationships not based on truth and truthfulness and love end up this way. It's always going to be devastation. He destroyed his friends and investors financially. Anytime relationships are not based on truth, truthfulness, and love, they always end in death and destruction. I believe Proverbs 13, maybe verse 13. Whoever despises the word of God brings destruction on himself. The Proverbs writer said it another way. There's a way that seems what? Right to a man. But the end of it, death and destruction. You can't get around the truth. It may seem like you're getting away for a while. This went on for years. I don't remember how many years. Was it 10, 15, 20? I don't know how long this thing went. Can you imagine taking your friend's money and going and paying somebody else and pretending they're making money? Year after year after year. See, no truth. For the Christian, we know that truth is essential for life. You cannot become a Christian without the truth. You cannot live the Christian life without the truth. And here's my point today. You cannot have genuine godly relationships without what? The truth. Well, my brother, my sister, you and I, we too can be considered the elect lady and her children. We are the church corporately, and we are members of the church individually. The love that we have for each other must be rooted in the truth. This is the only way that we can be guided in our reactions and responses to each other. This is the only way to be guided in a way that would please God is if our relationships are based on truth. Fellowship with other churches must also be rooted and based in the truth. This is the only way to have true, God-honoring fellowship with another church. You've agreed with me this far. Right? Okay. Here's the question. Are you willing to base all of your relationships with people on truth? Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless there's agreement? As a matter of fact, the more literal rendering is, how can two walk together unless they're going to the same place? You've got to have truth if you're going to have true relationships. The truth will either draw you closer or what? Separate you from those who do not love the truth. Here's the problem. The truth is going this way. Those who don't love the truth are going that way. You can't hang in the middle. Are you willing to base your relationships on the truth? Second question, are you willing to base our relationships with other churches on the truth? I certainly hope that your answer in each case is yes. Lord, I want my relationships based on the truth. Here's the reason why. This is extremely important because God promises His blessings, grace, mercy, and peace. You saw that, right? Only if we hold to truth and practice love. You have no right to expect God's blessing
if you don't hold to truth and practice love. If you're not a Christian, here's the truth. If you're not a Christian, you do not have peace with God today. If you're not a Christian, you do not know the special grace of God and salvation today. And if you're not a Christian, you do not know the blessing of truth and love today. But if you will only trust Jesus, if you will only believe in Him, if you will only cast yourself upon Him, you can be saved. If you will give yourself, if you will trust Him with your soul, trust Him with your future, trust Him with the sins that you've committed up to this point, trust Him. He's a great Savior. He'll save you if you'll only believe in Him. That's the truth. Jesus Himself says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But you must trust Him. And if you will trust Him, then your sins will be forgiven. And all these blessings will be yours forever. If you're not a member of a church, we'd love to have you come. Join us and learn to hold the truth and love each other together. Thank you, Father, for first loving us. Because if You had not loved us first, we would never love You. Thank You for Your patience, grace, and compassion toward us. We were not a people, and You made us a people of Your own choosing and calling. You made us a church. And Lord Jesus, we believe You're watching over Your church to ensure the success. So now we ask You, Lord, to take Your word, apply it to our hearts, show us how to live in truth and love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.